WABF 1480. It's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomenosi, President of the Common Sense Campaign and Adjunct Professor of Political Science at Spring Hill College. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne and in Malbus with the state-of-the-art car wash. Welcome. Good morning, Dr. Lou.
Well, good morning and happy birthday to you, Lori.
Thank you. Thank you.
You had your birthday this weekend. We won't say how old, but I know that birthdays are welcome in a lot of ways, but when you get my age, they're not so welcome. So you've got a long way to go.
That's right. Better than not having one, though.
Well, that's quite true. Yes. There's no doubt about that. All right, folks, we've got a fairly full agenda today. I'm hoping that Kevin Spriggs will be able to come on and talk to us about what took place at the Eastern Shore MPO last week. Remember, I mentioned to you in our last broadcast that the Mobile MPO had just taken care of some major business and that the Eastern Shore MPO was going to be next on the line as to whether or not they were going to put the new bridge project on the tip. And they did that. So I want Kevin to come on but he's been really busy at his business, so he may not make it. If he's not here, I'll talk a little bit about it, but I do think that it's important that we take a look at that. I definitely want to talk about a couple of state issues, mainly what's going on with the Senate race, the fact that critical race theory, which I've been talking to you all about for at least a couple of months now, is something that is now coming to a head here, and there are issues that you need to kind of be aware of, okay? I still want to talk a little bit about what's going on with the State Board of Education and Common Core Math, which, again, we've been discussing this now for at least 3 months. We probably will have a meeting soon between Terry Lathan and the governor to see if the governor will become the fifth vote to get rid of Common Core Math, which we believe will lead to getting rid of Common Core in general, okay? Then I want to talk a little about some national issues. You've got Biden overseas talking to the G7 members, and, of course, the theme is America is back. And I'm going to tell you something. This is just BS. America is not back in the first place. We were back when Trump was in power, and we actually did some things. But now we're not, and I will explain my feelings about that one, too. And then, of course, there's the southern border, and the vice president, much as I hate to admit that she's the vice president, nevertheless was down in Central America looking at root causes as to why we're having the great migration. 180,000 people in May crossed. Think about that. How in the world are we dealing with this? Well, we're not. That's the problem. So I want to try to get to that, time permitting, all right? But before I do anything, let's take a minute to pause. This is June 14th. This is Flag Day. The flag was brought into being in 1777 on this particular day, the 14th of June. I think it's worthwhile pausing for a few minutes. I know that today, this morning early, I put flags out at our for all of our HOA area. That's my responsibility nowadays to do flag for whatever occasion it is. So I did that, and it's something that our state auditor said something to us about it, and I sent his message to the Common Sense Campaign this morning too. And, you know, what Jim said was that this is a day that just doesn't get remembered. And part of that is because it's not a federal holiday and everyone just kind of goes about and does their business. But I think it is worthwhile just to kind of take a few minutes to pause and think about the flag and what it means and the degree to which the flag, as well as the country, has been under attack. And the meaning of the flag has been, you know, I would argue, completely turned upside down, in large measure starting with the Vietnam War and the flag burnings that we saw coming about then. That's really the first time that I can recall. I can't say for sure there weren't flag burnings before, But I can say this, in our lifetime, the fact is that we've seen many more flag burnings for protesting various issues than my recollection, historically speaking, in the past. Having said that, let's just talk a little bit about the flag, okay? It came about in 1777. There had been a couple of different flags that had been used. One of them was, you know, the Continental colors, along with the Congress flag. Those changed. They were used from 1775 to 1777. So 1777, the new flag comes in. Okay. So what do the colors mean? Well, the white basically means purity and innocence. Okay. The red is for heroism, and you know it's important to realize that these colors do have some meaning. The blue is for vigilance and perseverance and justice. So these kinds of colors represent what the flag stands for. Now, think with me for a second about what we've been talking about with critical race theory and other aspects of the progressive critique of American society and the American flag. Their argument is going to be, well, there's no justice in this flag symbol. Just look at what's going on. And of course, we reject that completely. And the argument we've made here, and we will continue to make, is that with the reforms that were made in the 60s, you actually have fulfilled many of the arguments that were made to try to move the country towards a more just situation with our minorities. So I've labeled it social and political revolutions since 64 and 65. So to argue that the flag doesn't represent, you know, justice just doesn't make sense when you see what's going on out there. And we can argue more about some of these other issues that we can talk about. But just from my perspective at this point, talking about the flag, it does represent all of those things that it should represent. So I want to just talk briefly about something that I found. It's a poem that says, "I am your flag." It's from the Association of the United States Army, and it captures what the flag should be and can be and will be if we make it so. Here it is. "I am your flag. I am your flag. I am not a pennant, but a purpose. Not a standard, but a symbol. Not a banner, but a belief. I was conceived in justice, fostered by the love of liberty, and nourished by the desire for freedom." Do you all see how absolutely abhorrent this is to the progressive left that hates this country? I mean, and here we are. I'm giving you something which is absolutely on the opposite side of the spectrum on what these people believe. And these people are in power today? I'm sorry, folks. We have got to turn this around and get rid of these people as soon as we can. Let me continue with what "I am your flag" says. "I am not a flag, but your flag. My fate is in your hands." Oh, that's absolutely true. That is so true. If we let these commie radicals take over this country, this flag is gone. And what it means is gone. And all those people who have died defending this flag, that will be absolutely washed away for no good reason. "I can rise equal to your highest hopes. I am indicative of your ideals and symbolic of your sacrifices in the preservation of liberty, freedom, and justice. I am not a substance, but a shadow. The heroic spirit of all the great Americans, of Washington and Wayne, of Jefferson and Jones, of Calhoun and Carver. I flew as proudly at Charleston as at Concord, at San Antonio as at San Juan Hill, at Iwo Jima as at Independence Hall. I am a composite of a nation's ideals and a denotation, boy, I got that one wrong, it must be Monday, of its desires." Now think about those words that were there. The heroic spirit of the great Americans. I mean, those words resonate with us today because we love this country and we love the flag that symbolizes this wonderful country. The Star-Spangled, I am Old Glory, the Star-Spangled Banner, the red, white, and blue. I am what you believe me to be and nothing more. Love and respect me, then freedom, liberty, and justice live. Well, I mean, that says a lot. And look what's happening in terms of those people who do not respect this flag, who don't love this country. Neglect me and we perish together. I mean, that is as spot on a statement as you're going to hear on all of this. I am your flag. My fate is in your hands. Author is unknown. You know, those are sobering words. I am in your hands. My fate is in your hands. How true it is. You know, Ronald Reagan always said that freedom is not free and it has to be fought for generation after generation. It's not a given that we're going to have these freedoms. And it's not a given that this flag will stand tall over this country, waving freely as the home of the brave and the land of the free. We have to fight for it. So here's how we can fight for it. We can look carefully at this Senate race, and this is why I wanted to start off with this. This Senate race is extremely important because what's happening here is that we now have three candidates, Congressman Mo Brooks, Ms. Katie Britt, and Ms. Linda Blanchard. The latter two are fairly new. They don't have as much name recognition according to the polling that's been done. But that doesn't really matter because they will put money into it. And once they start advertising and doing things like that, they'll gain more name recognition. That's not the issue. The issue is, what do they stand for? And that's something that we will dig into as we progress with this candidate, the election. But one candidate does have a track record that we know about, and that's Mo Brooks. And his track record is not only visible, it's also outstanding. And I think that as we get into further into the campaign, we'll have Mo and Ms. Blanchard and Ms. Britt on. But I do think that we had Mo here at the South Baldwin, or the Common Sense Campaign South Baldwin chapter's breakfast last Thursday, and he followed that up with a talk at the Eastern Shore GOP Women's Club. And in both cases, I mean, his talks are spot on. He says what he needs to say. He says it quite directly, and in my view, with an unerring ability to get to the heart of the matters and come to what he needs to be able to say to make the points. So whether it's the border, whether it's the budget, whether it's our bridge, Mo Brooks, in my view, is the only person that I think should be elected there. Now, that's my view. That's not the view of Common Sense Campaign. We always go through a process by which we vote on who we are going to endorse. But as someone who is a radio, you know, who has a radio show, I do have an opinion on it, and that's my opinion. So we'll see how it works out for Mo Brooks. But I do think that he really is the only candidate who has the experience, the knowledge, and the understanding of what's necessary to keep this country from going any further to the left. So that's my take, and I'm sticking with it, okay? I do think that the Senate race is something that is coming up, obviously, but so is the governor's race. The governor sent out her video of all of her accomplishments, and she had the audacity to say something about education. Hey, folks, guess what? Alabama is rated 52nd in math and 48th in English in the national assessment tests, okay, the NAEP tests. How in the world can the governor talk about education success? I mean, it's beyond my understanding, except she actually believes that she has eradicated Common Core math. Well, I guess the question is, if they have eradicated Common Core math, and we're still at the bottom after she's been in year, and we've been low for all these years since she became governor. Shouldn't it be sort of a no-brainer that she asks her people and the State Board of Education, you know, folks that she is the head of, and Superintendent Mackey, hey, guys, why are we number 52? I mean, it's sort of like a no-brainer question if you ask me. And yet, she's let this go by the by for yet another year. So please, don't tell me that we're doing fine in education. We're not. And the only way we are going to do something about education is to get rid of Common Core and move in the right direction, as we've talked about before on this show. And again, let me just give you an update on this. On May 24th, I've mentioned this already, but I'll reiterate it. Terry Lathan, Robin Leidecker, and Kathy Miller, both of whom are on our team, met with Mackey, his assistant Jones, and Nick Moore, who is the education guru for the governor. Mackey, Jones, and Moore all argued that they had gotten rid of Common Core math. And you say to yourself, well, how can they make that case? Dr. Liu, you told us it's gone. And the governor told us it's gone. Well, I didn't tell you it's gone. I just repeated what she said. The reality is these people have either misled the governor, which is a distinct possibility, because guess what? The analysis that was done by Eagle Forum and other researchers that showed conclusively that the K through 12 math course of study that they came out in 2019 and said was a new math course of study, it was all Common Core. And of course, Nick Moore basically says, well, the only thing, the reality is that our teachers changed the words in there. So it's our studies. It's our math course of study. It's not Common Core. BS, folks. BS. And I think that is the problem that we're dealing with. It's a mindset. So let's just assume for a second that Governor Ivey didn't do her due diligence and actually check the work that Eagle Forum sent to her with all of these comparative analysis. Let's just assume she took the word of her staff, which is more than likely the case because the governor is busy. Okay, she's so busy she doesn't even have time to meet with people. So, okay, I got that. So let's just assume for a second that she did trust them. Well, now we have a situation where they convinced her that Common Core math is gone, and it ain't. So what is she going to do now? Fire her staff? Admit a mistake? I don't know what she's going to do, but let's put it this way. If she can't get off the dime and become the fifth vote to get rid of Common Core math, then she needs to go. And I can tell you what, even if she gets rid of, she becomes the fifth vote, I will not vote for her. I've said this before on the radio, I will not vote for her. She has a track record that is just filled with rhino decisions over and over again. Republican name only, rhino. Laurie asked me what that meant. I gave her the...
Thank you. I did not know.
Okay. All right. See, that's a good reason to have me on the air here. Every now and then, there's a gem that comes up. All right. So that's where we are with this. Let me just add this thing to the mix of all of this. Critical race theory. I've mentioned this to you before. We've talked about it. 3 weeks ago, George Williams and I went to the Baldwin County Board of Education. We talked about it, and I was told by one of the board members the other day that in their last meeting this past Thursday, they have gone ahead and agreed to have a resolution to ban this whole business of critical race theory. So that is a positive step in the right direction. But here's the bigger picture. We have 67 counties in the state, okay? Baldwin County is one of them. So they've made the correct decision. Here's what the Alabama Conservative Coalition, of which Common Sense Campaign is one of its members. We're meeting this coming Saturday in Birmingham. We're going to lay out a plan by which biracial teams like George and I were, George is black, I'm white, we went to the Baldwin County Board of Education, we told them our positions, they accepted it, and they're moving in the right direction. This is the plan then. We want to put together an action plan that takes biracial, you know, teams of local people to their local boards of education. That's what we're going to try to do, and we'll see how that happens. Lori has a question.
We hear the buzz phrase, critical race theory, a lot. What does that really mean? What are they trying to teach in the classrooms?
The long and the short of it is that critical race theory is an academic approach that has about 20 or 30 years of history, okay? It went nowhere except into, you know, certain small classes of academicians who were involved with trying to figure out a way to take advantage of what they saw were problems with minority development and minority progress, okay? The argument basically is that the minorities, despite what I have argued is the civil rights revolution and social revolution coming out of the 60s, they're still oppressed. They're still discriminated against. They are not gaining anything in terms of what those of us who talk about a social and political revolution, that's just not the case, they're arguing, okay? And so their solution to this is to argue that whites are responsible for all of the problems within the black community and that this is essentially white supremacy keeping the blacks down further, not letting them rise, and that the only way to move against it is to have a, quote, anti-racist plan. That anti-racist plan means an indoctrination. It's re-education camps. It's the kinds of things now which you're seeing in the military, in business, and in schools where teachers are having to go through, re-education. They're being indoctrinated in white supremacy, in white responsibility, and the fact that all of this has got to be changed, okay? I've mentioned before on the show two of their main thinkers. One is a guy named Professor Kendi. He's from Boston University, I believe. And if it sounds like a Marxist revolutionary approach, you bet your sweet boompie it is. That's all this is. Black Lives Matter and these critical race theory people are all working together to have a Marxist revolution. There's another professor out in UCLA by the name of Harris. Her arguments are all along the lines of we've got to, you know, take over property. We've got to redistribute wealth. I mean, it's part and parcel of the whole Marxist approach. So the short answer to your question is that these people have now come full force out of the closet. In part, this was generated by the Ferguson, you know, killing of Michael Brown. I've mentioned on the show before. there, again, you had an absolute lie. Michael Brown was not killed by the policeman, you know, in as an innocent victim, okay? Michael Brown had tried to take the cop's gun. Michael Brown had just committed an assault and a theft at a store. He was getting himself in trouble with the cops. The cops stopped him. He tried to attack him. He tried to take his gun. He couldn't get it. He ran away. And then all of a sudden, he turned and ran at the cop, and the cop shot his ass. Okay, that's it. So, but Obama and them turned this into a cause célèbre, and Black Lives Matter really took off with it.
Divide and conquer.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, you combine the problems within the black community that are there and you generate an ideological solution that is nothing more than Marxism throwing gas on the fire. They don't want a solution. They don't accept the arguments we've made that the social and political revolution is real. And so I would suggest to you that, you know, where we are with CRT right now is that it's nice to hear that the Board of Education at the state level is going to have an anti-CRT resolution, but it won't come into power until August 12th. Well, guess what? The schools start in early August. So if we don't get these local boards to take some effective action to nip this in the bud, we're going to have all the same kind of problems that you have in all these big liberal states that are just embracing this full force. So that's where we are with
it. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah. Glad to help, Lori. Never, you know.
If I'm curious, others must be as well, I think. You're listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review here at WABF with Dr. Lou Campomenosi.
Okay. All right. Now I'm running out of time. What I'm going to do is just take up the last few minutes. I'm going to go back and talk about the bridge project next week, and maybe Kevin will be able to come on. But the bottom line is that the Eastern Shore MPO went ahead and put the new bridge plan, which is the truck toll bridge, on the tip. Now, our argument basically is that this is insufficient, and we'll talk more about it. We'll see how this works out. But I do want to make sure everyone understands that we were in favor of putting it on the tip, because if it wasn't on the tip, then there's no discussion. It's over, and that we can't do that. We need this. We need to have a solution to the problems with the tunnels and the congestion. So we'll see how this goes. All right, let me shift to our friends in D.C. and Biden and his team. The long and the short of this is, I suggested to you a little when I opened up this show, okay? They're talking about America's back. And you have to shake your head at this and say, what in the hell are they talking about? Back to what? Back to where? All they're going to be able to say is, well, we're back, you know, making nice with our enemies, you know, kissing a lot of EU butt, if you really want to know. I mean, it's preposterous to talk about America being back with these guys, all right? But nevertheless, here you are, you know, with them meeting at the G7, all right? So let's kind of think about this for a second. What are their priorities with the G7? Climate change. You know, folks, they can say what they want about climate change. But a few years ago, hackers broke into a British university that was heavily involved with climate change. And when they got into these emails from all these climate change supporters, it was pretty clear that there was no evidence about climate change that they could replicate. They deliberately prevented anyone who had a counter opinion from being allowed to publish in the most important publications in the academic world. So climate skeptics are around there. They're just not heard. So the argument basically is that something else is really going on with this climate change argument. And that climate, the proposition essentially is this, that unless we change everything, unless we have a Green New Deal, unless we have greater, you know, sharing of the wealth from the Western world, the rich Western world, to the underdeveloped world, that nothing is going to get better. Call it the Great Reset, call it whatever you want. But the fact of the matter is that they are going to use the pandemic, and they want to use whatever they can use to manifestly change how everyone lives. And you say, okay, well, that's not so bad, Dr. Liu. I mean, they just had the pandemic, and we've got to help people. Okay, we're helping people. We were helping people under Trump just by getting the stupid vaccine done. Okay? That was a major step in the right direction. So now we want to share it. Okay, we've shared it. We can share it. That's not the issue. The issue is all of these approaches that undermine the MAGA agenda. Okay? Make America great again. Gain energy independence. Trump did that. What's the first thing that Biden did? They shut down the Keystone Pipeline. And they allowed the Ruskies to go forward with their own pipeline to Germany. And I've talked to you all about this before, but the bottom line is there is no way that the EU should be beholden to the Ruskies for energy. Bill Buckley talked about that in 1975. Excuse me, because they were talking about then pipelines from Russia. Resource denial was a strategy of the Soviet Union. The fact of the matter is, Putin used resource denial against the Ukrainians a few years ago because the Ukrainians had the audacity to get mad when the Ruskies tried to kill their president. You know? I mean, what in the world are they thinking about allowing the pipeline to go to be completed? It just doesn't make sense. Does it make sense to not do anything about the Chinese and their, you know, their human rights abuses with the Uyghurs? Does it make any sense at all to get back into the World Health Organization when they were complicit in dealing with an investigation about the Wuhan lab that was insufficient and everyone complained about it, but they signed off on it anyway? And now, of course, you've got this big hoorah about it was the whole pandemic brought about by a lab escaping from the Wuhan lab, or was it due to, you know, animal transmission to a human? And remember what Trump said about all that, and the fact of the matter is that's exactly, you know, why they poo-pooed it, and now all of a sudden, for after a whole year of knocking down Trump on it, now it's back, not only back, but it's more than likely going to be shown, and as you look carefully at it, the circumstantial evidence is quite along the lines of just that. It was a Wuhan lab. The real question there is, was it an accident or was it, in fact, deliberate? And I would suggest to you, once the Chinese government knew about it, what was the first thing they did? They shut Wuhan down and wouldn't let anyone from Wuhan go anywhere else in China. But they let people from Wuhan go to the rest of the world. So think about it for a second there, Biden and the boys. Think about what the hell all of this means. All right, well, here's another meaning for you. It is now 4 minutes over my time, and Miss Laurie has been quite nice about this. So I don't want to belabor, you know, going on and on, although, but I could, but I'll come back next week because we'll have then seen how Biden handles Putin. Oh, my goodness gracious. Ain't that going to be interesting?
Yes, it will.
All right. So listen, folks, have a great, great week. Enjoy your flag day. Fly that flag proudly. And I will see you all next. I'll talk to you next week. I won't see you. One of these days we're going to get video here.
Yes, we should.
All right. Thanks, Lori. Y'all take care. And happy birthday to Lori.
Thank you very much. You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomanosi, president of the Common Sense Campaign and adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne and in Malbus with the state-of-the-art car wash. If you missed part of this program, you can listen to it later at wabf1480.com. We now resume regular programming.